This is Pastor Ron Brammer. I want to welcome you to Rock Power Radio. Rock Power Radio is the radio ministry of Rock Power Church. We are a non-denominational, independent church. Our purpose in bringing you these programs is to encourage you to put God first in your life, to trust God, to seek first the kingdom of God, because the Bible says the just shall live by faith. This week on Rock Power Radio, we're talking about the subject, the four most important beings in the Bible. We're beginning that study in Hebrews chapter 12, where the Bible says we're to run the race that's set before us, not the race you choose to run. You can't set your own course. You run the race that's set before us. Just picture an oval racetrack. You have to stay on the track. You can't cut across. You can't take shortcuts. You can't make your own path. We're to run the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus. So we're going to begin the study by looking at that term, looking unto Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12. I want to start reading in verse 1. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We call upon him to give me utterance and to give us all understanding. Give us ears to hear. Open our natural ears and our spiritual ears that we might comprehend and walk in the light of your divine word. So we give you praise and glory and honor for your faithfulness, Father. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now that's referring back to all those great men and women, the sometimes called the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And it says, since we are surrounded, or notice it says, we also are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. In other words, all those people who proved the Word of God works. Now, sad to say, there's a whole lot bigger cloud of witnesses that's never proved it. But we're not to look at them. We're surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses. You know, you're supposed to surround yourself with good testimonies and not bad testimonies. We're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let me just say something about what Marilyn said. Thank you, Father, for her healing. You know, I mentioned a while back, I don't know if it was on Sunday morning or in healing school, about a fellow that has passed away now. He was, you know, in his 90s, I believe, when he passed away. But he, when they told him, the VA, he had cancer, he said, that's impossible. But, you know, over the years, many times he did open himself up to sickness. He would get in the Word of God and he would read and meditate, and then he would go for a walk. And he'd go out to the fairgrounds oftentimes and he would walk, and he always would say, I'm going to take my healing today. That was his expression. I'm going to take my healing. And he always did. He always did. And he would walk and meditate on the Word of God and build his faith up. You see, it's already been given. Amen. You have to take it or receive it is another way of saying that. Therefore, since we also are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus. Everybody say, looking unto Jesus. The author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. and still is. Amen? Great hostility against Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Now, you know, there's three ways that we're to look unto Jesus. One is the Word of God. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. The Bible calls Jesus the Word of God. So looking unto Jesus is looking unto the Word of God. Two, we can look unto Him. He's seated in heavenly places. Amen. And He's our high priest. And the Bible says that He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, our weaknesses, and that we can come unto Him. We can come boldly to the throne of grace and receive grace to help in the time of need. But the third way we also can draw as an example and looking unto Jesus, His life on earth. That's what it's referring to in verse 3. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul, and you have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. So they're talking about His earthly life. Notice it says, looking unto. That is a compound word in the Greek language, which of course the New Testament was written in. And the first part of that word comes from the Greek word that means to separate one thing from another, to turn away from. You know, people, they separate eggs, egg yolk and egg white. You separate them. So this means, the first part of this word means to separate, to turn away from, to separate. And the second part means to see with your eyes. So it means, when it says looking unto Jesus, it means looking unto Jesus and away from other things. You know, I'm looking here, I can't see what's behind me. But if I turn around, I can't see what's in front of me. That's what it means. Looking unto Jesus and not other things. So we're to run the race looking unto Jesus, looking unto the Word of God, looking unto our high priest who's seated in heavenly places. And the Bible says we're seated with Him in heavenly places. That's a little hard to grasp, but we need to grasp it. And looking unto the example that He left for us. You know, John said, if everything that was written about Jesus was written down, I don't think the earth could contain the books. So obviously everything that Jesus did was not written down, but what was written down is important for our example. Amen? We're to run the race looking unto Him. You know, a few years back, somebody wrote a book and we had all those bracelets. And what would Jesus do? Well, what would Jesus do is what Jesus did. Thank you for the privilege of speaking to you today. As we've been announcing for several weeks, we now have Healing School every Thursday night at 7 p.m. We just run about an hour. We teach what the Bible has to say about healing. And I want you to know that the Bible says a lot more about healing than most of you have ever heard. In fact, most of us, all we've ever heard is why God doesn't heal today. But you see, we're talking about the Bible, not man's experience or opinion based on experience. You see, there are people who've never been born again because they've never heard the term born again. There are people thinking they're saved by being baptized because they've never read the Bible for themselves. There are people who think God's only willing to save some because they've never read the Bible in its entirety. They've never looked at the full counsel of God on the subject. And there are people who do not know what the Bible has to say about healing. We are talking on Thursday nights about healing, with the idea that just like when you heard that Jesus died for your sins, and you could be, by believing that and by confessing Him as Lord, you could be saved or born again, the exact same thing applies to healing. Jesus said He was our Savior. God said He's our healer. Where's the difference? There is no difference. I have in my hand an example called Divine Healing, a little book called Divine Healing by Andrew Murray. Andrew Murray was one of the most prolific writers of his era and one of the most respected writers of his era. When we came to Des Moines in 1984, you know, God spoke to me the last day of December 1983 to come to Des Moines. So in June of 1984, we moved to Des Moines. We had our first church service the first Sunday of July 1984 in our home. And we've been going ever since. We started with two people, the only two people in Des Moines that we knew. Man never invited me to Des Moines. God invited me to Des Moines. At that time, there was a little Christian bookstore in West Des Moines, but the main bookstore was downtown called Boone's Book and Bible. It was there for many years. It was eventually bought out and moved to Urbandale, where it was called Wellspring. And they've since, of course, gone under. But I went down to Boone's Book and Bible, and it was a very large store. Had tons of books and lots of Sunday school material and all sorts of church supplies. And at that time, they had one book on healing in the entire store. And it was by Andrew Murray. And the only reason they had it was that they probably thought it was against divine healing. But it wasn't. Let me read to you the introduction to the book that Andrew Murray gave, and I'm going to use it as an introduction to you to our healing classes. It says, "The publication of this work may be regarded as a testimony of my faith in divine healing. After being stopped for more than 2 years in the exercise of my ministry, I was healed by the mercy of God in answer to the prayer of those who see in Him the Lord that healeth thee," Exodus 15:26. "This healing granted to faith has been the source of rich spiritual blessing to me. I have clearly seen that the church possesses in Jesus, our divine healer, an inestimable treasure which she does not yet know how to appreciate. I have been convinced anew of that which the Word of God teaches us in this manner and of what the Lord expects of us. I am sure that if Christians learn to realize in a particular sense the presence of the Lord who heals in their everyday life, their spiritual life would thereby be developed and sanctified. I can therefore no longer keep silent. This series of meditations is published to show, according to the Word of God, that the prayer of faith, James 5:15, is the means appointed by God for the cure of the sick. My purpose is to show that this truth is in perfect accord with Holy Scripture and that the study of this truth is essential for everyone who desires to see the Lord manifest His power and His glory in the midst of His children. I want you to see," he said, "I can no longer therefore keep silent." You see, there are lots of churches who want you to keep silent on the subject of healing.